Hello and welcome to the 22nd episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast, our first episode of 2021. On today's episode, we discuss a couple different ways we want to help the environment in the new year, and of course, talk about some of our favorites from Asia, and kick off our Asian Animals of the Week with an adorable mammal. Check out the animals we discuss by following us on our social media. And now, let's jump into episode 22 of the Animal Addicts Podcast. Hello and welcome to the 22nd episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And it's the first podcast of the new year. Woo!
And it's a new year.
It's a new year, and this is our palindrome episode.
Is that from a...
What?
Nope, the completely different lines from a song I was thinking of.
What are you talking about?
It's like, there's like, I thought like New Year was included in some lyrics, but no, it's like...
It's a new life.
Yeah.
It's a new day. It's a new... Yeah. It's not your.
No.
But that's okay. That's all right. Anyway, moving on. Sorry, Michael Bublé. Retire that. Christmas is over. It's past your time. Anywho's, this is our first episode in Asia. We have moved on to Asia, which is insanely packed with animals and all kinds of things. But first, before we get into that, Casey, what have you been up to since last I saw you?
Birds. I've been looking at birds, and notice my mom has a bunch of hummingbird feeders outside.
Okay.
Very few hummingbirds are using them.
Okay.
It's mostly ordinary birds drinking out of them.
But why are they? They're not supposed to drink that stuff, are they?
I don't know.
I don't think they are. It's a very different diet.
Yeah, but they want the sweet stuff.
Well, don't we all?
Mm-hmm. Might be like my equivalent of having a margarita.
Bird margaritas. There's drunk birds flying around. Anyway. Okay, well, what are you going to do about that?
I ain't doing nothing.
Oh,
I just
it's not your problem.
It's just an observation.
Oh, okay.
My mom's still eating them because like she heard about like how the hummingbirds normally migrate back down to Mexico, but they're still here, so she still has to keep on putting out the hummingbird to feed them.
My parents feel like they're obligated to feed the birds. They have so many bird feeders and stuff, and I'm like, why don't you just not feed them? And she's like, oh, they'll get angry at us. And I'm like, they can go find food. Well, because now they have the dog and stuff, so it's like, we don't want the dog to attack them.
Mm.
They get a lot of quail there, too. But anyway, she's like, no, they need it. So
quail are cute.
They feed the birds a lot of food. They go through a lot of birds to eat. I'm like, what? This is crazy. Anywho. Yeah.
There's actually, I showed my mom this one documentary about hummingbirds, and it showed this one part where, like, on their migration, they go stop in Florida, and there's just hummingbirds all over the place, and there's people even with hummingbird feeder hats.
That's awesome. I would totally do that.
Yeah, and it's hosted by the one, narrated by the one and only David Attenborough.
All right. I'm going to guess that's Planet Earth or one of those.
Yeah. Yep.
I haven't really watched those. While I was in quarantine, I watched started to watch a little bit of one, but it looked like it was going to get sad. So
you need to embrace sadness.
No, I don't.
Like I do. You can be a highly functioning, well-developed adult, if you accept it.
No, I don't want to.
Yes, you have to.
Not like that, though.
Yes.
I don't want to see the baby animals die. I don't want to be sad. I'm someone who, like, will scroll through my feed and see one of those. Like, I will, like, cry thinking about it. I'm going to cry, probably. There was one, and it was a cat, and it's, like, the silhouette of a cat, and it's from kind of his perspective looking out of, like, a little, like, cat condo. Not cat condo, but a little cat cottage, like, cage thing. At a shelter, and it's like, I swear I'll be a good cat, take me. And the person walks away, and then this cat just like ears down and sad. And I was just like, I can't see, it's horribly depressing. And I'm like, I'm so sad.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one day, and it was like, I think it's like a greyhound, and it's like a therapy type dog. And they go to a local library, and kids read to them so kids can feel more confident about reading. But they showed a picture of this dog looking so sad, and it's like, I don't remember the dog's name. We'll say Trixie. That's definitely not his name. But, like, Trixie was sad. She didn't have anyone to read to her today. And I was thinking about that for days. Because then, like, that dog, she does get people to read to her, and she has her home. But then have you seen those pictures of the kids who go and read at the shelters? But, like, what if there's a dog that doesn't get read to? And I just, like, well, I will cry. I will cry. It's like Oliver and Company. I'm literally starting to tear up right now. In the beginning of Oliver and Company, it kills me. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I get so upset, Casey. It's so bad. You're laughing at
it. I'm
sorry. You're going to see it. Oh,
I'm dead inside. I'm sorry.
It's so sad. And have you seen those comics of, like, the cat that, like, gets run over? And then he goes back to visit the lady who was feeding him. It's like with death. They're so sad. They're so, I cry. It's so awful. And like, death's really nice to them, but it's just like, oh my God, I'm literally getting choked over now. I have to move on. I can't. I have to, anytime those come up, I'm like, well, now I'm ruined for the night. I have to go watch something funny because now I'm sad. Okay, well, anyway. I, on the other hand, have added a new cat to my, I usually every year will do a symbolic adoption through the World Wildlife Fund. I'm going to start to sound happier about this. I'm all depressed because of you. And I try to do that every year. And I started with cats, and then some years I'll do two if I can afford it that year, and I'll get another animal. This year, just doing a kitty. And continuing my little line of my little army of predators.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get the plushie when you get the little adoption package. Yes. And you get a really, actually, they also get these really good bags, reusable bags. They're small, which I like because if you have heavier stuff, it's really good. Like if you're buying like cat food or like, you know, cans, it's really good. Anyway,
I have so many reusable bags.
Same. I know. I have to go through them. I just have to start throwing away the ones that are broken because I'm like, I feel bad, but like, I can't have 80. But yeah, so they give you a really good little reusable bag. They give you a little like certificate of adoption and like the little picture like tells you about the animal. And anyway, so I have added this year a cougar, which I prefer mountain lion, the term mountain lion.
Oh.
From sad to tired. So I've
need caffeine.
Lion. I have, yeah, I always need caffeine. I need a caffeine drip, dude. I'll have to take a picture of my little army of animals. But definitely consider going to the World Wildlife Fund. And other groups do it, too. I think, like, Sierra Club and a bunch of them do it, where you can do symbolic adoptions. Also, usually, like, your local zoos and stuff. I know I've done some from the animal park. Were you with me that time?
Yes. That was the time when you got two.
I got two because it was my birthday.
Yeah.
So I used my birthday money to get two. I don't remember what I got. I have to look at them when I get home. I think I got a rhino. I got a rhino and like a cheetah or something.
Oh, I thought snow leopard for some reason.
It might be. It probably is. I think you're right, actually. See, he knows more than I do. It was very gray that day, I guess. Anyway, but consider doing it. Money goes to that organization, obviously, to help out with their conservation funds or whatever it might be. And if you go to World Wildlife Fund specifically, because I was looking, deciding who to get this year, and they have many of the animals we've talked about, including the maned wolf.
Yes.
Was one. There were many more, Casey. Why am I? Most importantly is the pangolin.
Yes.
That we talked about last episode. So definitely I would suggest get that one. I don't actually know if the adoptions go toward that specific animal because I feel like that would not be fair because tigers would get all the money.
Yeah. Well, like, that's how conservation work. All money goes to pandas.
Yeah. So pandas aren't on the list.
Really?
I don't think they were on that list.
It's their icon.
That's true.
What the heck?
I don't know. I think I got out of it. I can't pull it up, dude. Oh, no, I can. I can pull it up. I don't think that I'm pretty sure that no I don't remember seeing a panda. But I got, now we're literally pulling up, oh, the black spotted cats. You know what? I'm just going to pull it up right now, folks. So animals we have talked about already on this that are on there, we have they don't like the Indian rhino, apparently, but the African wild dog.
African elephant.
African elephant you did talk about, that's right. The anaconda, but it is a green one in the picture, so I'm assuming it's a green anaconda.
Arctic fox.
Arctic fox.
Painted dog.
I already said the painted dog.
Okay.
Silly. But that's okay. The black-footed cat I said already we talked about. I mean, we've said the blue-footed booby, but we didn't actually talk about them. Just trying to go fast so we're not just sitting here doing this. Enjoy my music while we scroll. The gray wolf, we talked about that. We talked about the great white shark.
Green sea. Nope, not green sea turtle.
No, it is a leatherback.
Yeah.
Harpy eagle.
Yes.
That is in there. I'm jealous. My secretary bird's not in here. And that's some BS. The honey badger we didn't talk about, but that's just another thing that is there. The lions we talked not about animal wise, but we did talk about them briefly. The muskox is in there.
Polar bear.
Poppy. We already said the polar bear. Oh, no, we're not there. Stop skipping ahead. The okapi. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
I know they had a beef. But like,
the pangolin, the polar bear, and the pronghorn antelope. That's not actually an antelope. The maned wolf. That's not actually a wolf. All the things that lie. A serval. You talk about serval. There's no caracal. What the hell?
Yeah.
What's up with that? What's up with that? Snowy owl right there. Your owl's not in here. I'm just saying. Sumatran rhino, but no Indian rhino. Oh, we did. No, we talked about the Tasmanian devil, just not in our actual animal of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did not talk about them. He talked about a walrus. Oh, I think narwhal was in here too, and I think I skipped them. I don't know. And the wolverine. So, oh, and whale shark. That's just a really weird picture of a whale shark. Their icon. But okay, that's fine. Yeah. So anyway, there's a ton of animals that we have talked about, and then obviously a lot of other cool ones in there as well that you should check out. But I definitely, narwhal right there. I recommend that you adopt a pangolin.
Yes.
Because they need a lot of help, and just adopt those. And also you can do them, they're good gifts to give people too. Like, that's just a happy day if you just get a little, like, stuffed animal that shows up at your house and you know that somebody, like, adopted an animal for you. So do that, folks, if you can. Also, you can just give them money.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yep, getting crazy. You can just give them money, and there are also other, like, little things you can buy, and they have, like, you know, other things you can buy, like socks and shirts and stuff. But anyway. So, yes, I added to my little collection. I'll have to get a picture of all my little predators because I think everyone's a predator so far. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to because, you know, life has been crazy busy because holidays. Ugh. Okay.
Joyous holidays.
Joyous holidays. So, Casey, is there something you want to talk about? I know you've been, like... biting at the chomp. That's not the thing.
Biting your tongue.
No, biting at the chomp, but that's not the saying.
Biting what?
I think it's like biting at the chomp or something like that. Like you're really excited to talk about something. I'm gonna have to look this up. This bothers me.
What the heck?
Start talking about what you want to talk
about. Okay, so I've been being vetoed on my depressing news a lot.
Yeah, I vetoed it for Christmas.
Yes, so. Now that we're dealing with COVID, sort of.
Yes. Well, it's just the crazy chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
Totally wrong. It's a horse reference.
Okay. Yeah. So here's something new to look forward to.
Yes. So we had our chapters of 2020, and this may be our 2021. Let's get into it, Casey.
Yes. So scientists have discovered two new species of fungus that turn flies into zombies.
Zombie flies, folks.
Yes.
You heard it here.
Walking Dead 2021.
But they're easy to kill. They're little.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a bunch of fungus that will actually infect various different kinds of insects, turn them into zombies, and they'll do, like, different things. There's some that will, like, infect ants, make them go bite the end of a leaf and just dangle there.
What is the purpose of that?
Because then the fungus will grow, and then it creates its fruiting body, which is what has all the spores, and it helps maximize dispersal of the spores.
Ugh. I don't like fungus either.
They're cool. Fungus are actually very important. That's why in agriculture, you have to be careful when you use fungicides for, like, parasitic fungus, because plants are dependent on what's called a mycorrhizal network, which is fungus that insert themselves into the roots of plants and help provide nutrition that the plants can't get otherwise.
Oh, weird.
Yes, so they're very important.
Nature's so weird.
Yeah.
Just accept that everything is gross.
Yeah. Actually, there's... a concept called talking trees, which is where trees have these mycorrhizal networks as well, and it's like they will, like, divert resources to each other through these networks and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
They're like, yo, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's a snack.
And they will discriminate on what kind of, based on what kind of plant it is, like...
The trees are racist.
Yeah, so, like, I can't remember the specific trees, but there were these... conifer trees, and then a
trees are flowering trees, correct?
No.
Damn it, they're the other ones. They're the pine tree ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there was also an evergreen tree. And the conifer trees would exchange nutrients to each other when one was deficient of certain nutrients, but they would not do that to the evergreen.
Screw you, you're not one of us.
Yeah, and they've also seen that this can also kind of get into, like, there is some potential for parental investment in plants through this network.
Interesting.
Yes. Fungus are very important.
Plants do care.
And fungus are weird, man.
Casey, like, everything's weird.
It's so weird.
Weird stuff.
But, like, how, like, some of them, their sex determination is, like, sometimes it's just completely genetic. They don't have sex chromosomes like we do. So there can be multiple variations for that gene that determines the sex. And technically, they don't have sexes. They have gender types, because the definition for sexes, the gametes are morphologically different. Like, we have sexes because our egg looks like a single round cell, whereas our sperm are tiny and like a little tadpole, whereas their gametes, they look identical. And so because of that, they can have, some species have over 4,000 mating types.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
It's crazy. You want a party, be a fungus. There you go.
Yep. This is so far off from where we started.
You rabbit trailed so far, you got lost.
I'm still on fungus.
Okay, you are still on fungus, but you got lost. Well, we're talking about your story. We're not, I mean, that far off. You just got excited about fungus. And...
Yeah. So this is two new species. They specifically infect flies, which what it seems to be like a good way of dispersing spores, because
that does make sense. Yeah.
They're very mobile. Fly. Yeah. Yes.
So funny.
Flies are actually very interesting.
If you squish them, do the spores like everywhere?
No, they come specifically from the fruiting body. So there wouldn't be any spores developing. It needs to develop that fruiting body. The fruiting body is basically what looks like the mushroom, but that's what people think of as a fungus. But really, funguses are just stringy stuff that lives in the dirt.
Ew.
They're important, so don't say ew, and they're delicious sometimes.
Ugh.
You don't like mushrooms?
No, I don't. I can't say much. I'm a picky eater.
What is wrong with you? It's so weird.
I don't like most things. I feel like I have very sensitive taste buds because I also have, like, no spice tolerance.
Mm.
And then people are like, oh, this just tastes like this. And I'm like, no, it has very
sensitive taste. Yeah, I love spicy food.
No.
It just doesn't agree with me the next day.
No. My dad loves spicy food, but I, no. Like, orange chicken at Panda Express. Sometimes it's too hot. Which, in my defense, next to it on the little label, there is a little chili.
Yeah.
Which indicates that it is spicy.
Yes, but it's not.
No, it's not always spicy, and I don't like it when it's spicy.
It's spicy for white people.
Well, yeah, but sometimes it actually really is spicy, so I always have to get fried rice with it, because sometimes I literally have to just, like, bury it in fried rice, and sometimes if I bring it home, don't you roll your eyes at me.
No, I just want Panda Express now.
It's really good, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sometimes I'll get a glass of milk, and I literally will just stick my tongue in the glass and just leave it there. Anyway, so you never know, it's always a gamble. I'm like, is this going to be a sweet, delicious treat, or is this going to be too spicy? Anyway, that's a real rabbit trail. Back to your fungus.
Yes. So, yeah, we may have zombies in our futures.
Zombie flies! Woohoo! That's only really a problem if there's a group of flies. Jeez. Be called a swarm?
I know.
I feel like it should be like a buzz of flies or something like that.
I don't know if they... But they probably do, because, you know, like, all the different forms of pollination by insects have all their different names. Like, pollination by beetles has their own name. Bees, ants all have their own specific name.
I feel like this isn't a problem until they all join together. Like, when you have those ant things, it'll, like, just move in and, like, you can't. It's almost like lava. Like, it's coming slowly, but you're going to die.
Now I'm thinking about that scene from Jurassic World where Chris Pratt is, like, been hit by the trank and the lava's coming at him. He has to flop around.
Yeah. Oh, good times. Oh, silly movies. Anywho, yeah. So, okay. Well, great. So, everyone.
Actually, one more thing. Oh. We actually use fungus like these in biocontrol for certain pests.
Great. So, we're spreading the zombie.
We're spreading the zombies.
Great. This is why we're all going to die. And as we've learned with this pandemic and with the plague, people are really stupid and will not do anything to avoid that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if we actually got hit with the zombie issue,
dude, honestly,
we would die so fast. Because people get bit.
Like, you watch World War Z or The Walking Dead. Yeah. Like, how are they so stupid? It's like, we are this stupid.
We're really stupid. Apparently. Yeah. Well, not everyone, but enough people are so stupid that it really doesn't matter. I understand the people who want to go off the grid now because, like, why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, well, that's exciting. So, you guys, we know January of 2021, we might have zombie flies, maybe. Probably not. They probably won't actually come and attack us, but...
Well, yeah, they're zombies that go off and die.
Die. But, you know.
Mm.
But then what if something eats them and then it evolves, Casey? This is like science fiction.
Well, there's actually it's not a fungus, but it's a protist that will infect ants and makes them go to the end of a leaf so they'll get eaten by rabbits. Because it's a multi-cycle, multi-host parasite. Has to go into the ant, makes them into a zombie. Then it goes through the rabbit, develops into its next life, so it gets pooped out, then gets eaten by a snail. And then...
I hit all of it.
Eventually, the snail exudes it out of its body into this little slime ball that will then get eaten by an ant.
It goes back to the ant again?
Yeah, it's a cycle.
But how is that helpful to this thing? I don't like
it. The parasite needs this so it completes its life cycle. It develops into a different phase each time.
What a dumb life cycle.
It's a parasite.
What is that doing for anything else in the environment? Nothing.
Never said it has to be for the environment. Parasites... They evolve to do their thing. They're just trying to survive like everyone else.
I don't like it, but they're not, because they're dicks about it.
Oh, I need to talk about this one parasitic insect. It is one of the weirdest animals on the planet.
Even more than the Acorn blue butterfly or the parasitic wasps.
Well, those are cool. This one is just strange. Very strange.
Okay, in our wild card month, you can talk about that, Casey. All right, well, I'm going to move on to more positive things. Positive, Casey. Oh, sadness. I'm sorry, did you have more to say about your zombie flies fungus?
No, I just don't like happiness.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so we briefly kind of discussed last episode that we should all try to think of things we can do to, as much as I hate this phrase, lower our carbon footprint, but be more environmentally conscious and help the environment and creators. So I have decided I am vowing to not do it 100% of the time, because 100% that will not happen. But I want to use my little straw more so that I'm not using the turtle-killing straws.
Yep.
Well, as much as I can avoid them. And also this
they're worse for fish than turtles.
Well, really, just environmentally not great.
Yep.
Straws. And the paper straws are awful, so.
They are.
No, they are awful.
Why?
I don't drink my drink really fast, so it, like, disintegrates. It's nasty. Anyway.
Oh my gosh. I have no problems with those straws.
You probably drink your drink fast.
Maybe.
I drink slow compared to most people.
I'm a vacuum.
Everything, and literally everything I drink, and alcohol, and like just normal beverages, everything, I'm slow.
No, you have to drink alcohol fast so it hits quicker.
I mean, if I'm trying to get the job done, yes. But like, that's why I also don't like a lot of alcohol, because I like to like have my drink instead of just shooting it. Like, just give me whiskey at that point. Like, it's not going to taste good. Just gonna get the job done. Anyway. So, off topic, but yeah, so I'm going to try to use my straw more. What are you going to do, Casey?
So, one thing I want to do is try to incorporate insects into my diet.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, because just to show a bit of impact of what meat has in terms of resources in the environment. So, when it comes to feed... It takes 10 pounds of feed in order to make just 1 pound of beef. Then you take into account for water, it takes 1,000 gallons of water to produce 1 pound of beef. And then where if you produce 1 pound of insects, it's 1 pound of feed, 1 pound of water.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they don't produce methane like cows do.
That's true.
Yep. And you're going to have less land development because you don't need as many resources for them.
That's true, yeah.
Don't have to worry about having to overuse antibiotics because they're distantly separated us evolutionarily, so there's not really any chance of disease spreading.
What about the zombie stuff? Are you going to eat the zombie flies?
Well, you cook it, obviously.
Oh, does that kill the zombie gene?
Well, it kills the fungus.
I guess that's true.
Like, you try being surviving being boiled alive.
That's why I won't eat lobsters.
Yeah. Also, insects are much healthier. They're higher protein than beef. Your look is just...
what everyone is looking like.
If you like shellfish, like...
No, I don't.
I'm talking about people in general.
Okay, all right.
Like if you like crabs, lobsters, shrimp, then really you have no reason to be against insects because first off, those are even lower on the evolutionary chain and they are delicious and we pay a lot for that.
I refuse to eat anything that has to be cooked while it's alive. So I won't eat any of that, even if it does taste good. I refuse to ever taste lobster because what if I liked it?
It's delicious.
I'm not eating it. Not eating it. I've had crab before on accident and I didn't like that. So
I prefer crab over lobster.
Great. Then I probably don't like it anyway, so I'm not missing anything. I hate calamari. That's nasty.
Calamari. I don't think I've had calamari.
It's nasty.
I remember.
I have heard it depends on how it's prepared. Mm-hmm. Either way.
Well, that's with any food. Like,
yeah.
Just try eating cooked meat with no seasoning or anything on it.
Yeah, it's pretty boring.
It's like
without anything on it. Yeah, that's really boring.
It's like so people have this idea. It's like, yeah, you're just going to take a handful of insects, shove them in your mouth. It's like, no, we don't do that with any of our other food. We obviously wouldn't do that with insects. Like, people make it into cricket powder and make desserts out of it. There's products called chirps, which are chips that are made with insect powder. They taste really good. Like, I love the barbecue ones.
I will maybe try one of those one time.
I will bring those one day, and I will have you try them, and you will like them.
We'll do it on the podcast. And
yes.
And you'll hear me all wretch. Everyone will hear me wretch.
Yeah. But there was at the Del Mar Fair last year. I will continue to call it that no matter what.
Yeah, right. Seriously. It's like a wild animal park.
Yeah. And there was this one. They had a bunch of things. I got the chips because I love barbecue chips. And one of my friends got this thing. It's incredibly sweet because it's made with bee pollen in it.
Oh, that sounds kind of good,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. Apparently it's very sweet, but you might not want to eat it if you're allergic to bee stings or have bad allergies, because it can set those off.
Oh, good. You can go into full anaphylaxis. Have your EpiPen ready.
Yeah, and if you're allergic to shellfish, don't eat insects.
Oh, okay. I don't think I'm allergic to shellfish.
Yeah.
I don't know, but a lot of people are,
mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't even be an option for a lot of people.
Yeah, but...
I do try to do, like, my meatless Monday or, like, pick a day or two a week and not have any meat.
Yeah. Also, it's like people always, like, I have family members that are like, it's not a meal unless it has meat in it. And not healthy, first off.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's like when you look at, like, all the meats we eat, is like the reason it tastes good is because we season it with spices and stuff. And it's like you learn how to cook with vegetables or insects. You can do.
Honestly, though, chicken on its own boring is still good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not as good as when it's seasoned and stuff, but chicken's still pretty freaking good with, like, nothing extra added.
I don't know if I've ever had it with just plain chicken and nothing.
Yeah, it usually has some sort of seasoning, but, like, same thing. So cook that with vegetables. It's still going to taste good.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, chicken is still pretty good without even seasoning and stuff.
Yep.
I think some fish.
Yeah. Also,
I eat tuna pretty much. I mean, I put mayo in it, but I can eat it raw.
Mm-hmm.
Not raw, but, like, just the tuna.
Yeah. But one thing I always try to do is just, like, people to get rid of this cultural ideas, like, it's something gross and not... Because we eat plenty of things that are...
Super gross.
Yeah, like...
We eat all kinds of things that are disgusting.
Yeah, it's
we
like...
hot dogs, so, bleh.
Yeah.
And those are delicious.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. That's your pitch for insects. We eat hot dogs, and those are yummy.
Yeah. There's all just...
And the insects are healthier.
Yeah. But, like, even in New York, they have a ton of, like, entomophagous restaurants. Which is one reason I would want to go to New York to try them out.
Nasty.
Delicious. Nasty.
Okay, so Casey's going to try to incorporate insects into his diet. I'm going to try to use my straw. Remember to use your reusable bags, everyone. I'm pretty good about that one.
Yeah.
But I do have to, like, recycle my, the ones you have to get in California now, the thicker ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I have too many of them. Because during COVID, you couldn't bring your reusable
bags. Yeah, initially we couldn't.
Yeah.
So now
we can,
at least.
I have a bunch of them. Because that's what they would give you.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, great. So
now what I would do sometimes is I would just put it back into my shopping cart and bring it and bag it in by my car.
I would do that a lot. Yeah. I started doing that with my reusables when I got to the point I'm like, I can't keep doing this. This is ridiculous. I have so many. And sometimes I do use those bags for things anyway. But also the reusables are easy to throw in the washing machine and I can clean them. So
I hope we just get eventually a proposition to replace them with paper bags.
You can get paper bags still.
Yeah, but not in most stores don't have them.
Well, no, like Target doesn't, but like the grocery stores do.
Mm.
Yeah, paper would be better. Remember when we were trying to get away from paper, and now it's like, oh, paper's better.
Yeah, because it at least degrades.
It degrades, yeah. Yeah. But yeah,
at
so
least,
that,
well, nothing really course, degrades properly in
I
a...
I think the... Well.
Nothing really degrades properly in a garbage patch.
One thing that's really interesting, because we have all these cleansers now, especially mm-hmm. like at my work, we have, you know, decently heavy-duty wipes. And I'm always like, because there's usually some liquid left at the bottom, and I'm like, I feel like this is terrible no matter where mm-hmm. I put it. Like, I shouldn't put it down the sink. But I also going to a landfill is also terrible.
Yeah.
So my best solution is to throw some tissues in there to absorb it. And I'm like, this is still terrible, but like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So it's awful. Like, we have all these things, and now I'm doing things that are not environmentally friendly because mm-hmm. of COVID. And of course, all the one-time use gloves and all yeah. that stuff. It's awful. But anyway, also make sure that you break the strings off your mask.
Yes.
Because that's been a problem for wildlife. So mm-hmm. you don't even have to like rip them off entirely, but just break one end so it's not a circle.
I just cut off the ends.
Yeah, well, I just, they rip easily mm-hmm. if you don't have a, if it's a one use, which I use because we run into a lot of people. But anyway, yeah, so reusable bags, really easy way to do it. Recycling, I go insane with how many people don't recycle. It's so easy.
Make sure you recycle properly.
But Casey tells us how to recycle properly, so tell us how to recycle properly, Casey.
Don't recycle paper pizza boxes.
Okay.
And the thing with plastic... I don't like giving out advice all the time on it because it varies from state to state or even county to county.
Yeah.
Because, like, some places you can, like, most of the time you have to take off the cap mm-hmm. and also that little plastic ring on there.
Recycled by the county? Or, I mean, to be...
In order to be properly recycled, and that can vary, how to properly recycle.
Because the one I go to, they don't even, like the place that collects it at least, mm-hmm. they don't, you can leave the cap on. I usually leave the cap off anyway, but getting that little ring off is like impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not something that's reasonable for somebody to do easily.
Yeah.
Which means it won't happen.
Yeah.
Because we don't do anything unless it's, you know, a little bit of effort.
Also, nowadays, we don't have separate recycling for like plastics, metals, paper, glass. So now there's a lot of people improperly recycling because it's all going into one batch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And also, if you met, here's a good rule of thumb. If you don't know if it can be recycled, put it in the trash. Because if you recycle something that thinks you think is recyclable and then it's not, not only is that not going to get recycled, you can contaminate a whole batch of recyclables that may have been recycled properly.
But now they're not.
And now it's all just going to the trash.
That stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish we knew more. We had more knowledge about that just in our everyday.
Yeah.
We should post something about better recycling guides of things.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let us know different things that you want to try and do. Always on my list, too, is to take a shorter shower,
mm-hmm.
which I've gotten better about. But there's just no way I'm getting my shower, my general shower, to be like 5 minutes. Yeah. That will never happen. Long hair.
Put a bucket in there and use that to water your plants.
Because then you have soap on it, though.
Yeah.
I don't think the plants like the soap. I do.
Well, do that when you're just starting it and trying to warm it.
When I don't finish a thing of water, because I'm very picky about not using the same container for water more than one day,
mm-hmm.
because then the bacteria and shit from your mouth is on that. So, like, the water's fine, but it's going to pass through that and, like, disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have extra water, I'll always dump it into a watering can, and then when I have enough, I just go dump it on a plant. So there's a lot of things like that you can do, but... I really just need to try to figure out how to get my shower shorter, but it's just hard when you have long hair and you're a woman and there are, you know, things that are expected to screw you. And then also, let's be real. We do our best thinking in the shower, and a lot of times mm-hmm. we have existential crisis in the shower.
Yep. So, one thing I would like to see is if all the toilets on the coast use seawater instead of fresh water.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if it would affect the... Like the toilet, the porcelain.
No, there's places that there's like theme parks that are on the coast. They'll use seawater in their urinals and stuff like that, as
That's
opposed
smart.
To fresh water.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be more eco-conscious.
Yeah. Well, what we need to do is invest in scientists in this country.
I mean, what? That's a thing.
Because like
what
one
nation
thing...
even does that? What nations that are more progressive even do that?
Europe.
Does Norway actually do it though? But how much do they?
I don't know specifically,
but... I mean, it's better than us.
Yeah.
But that's not hard.
Yeah, but... yeah, because, like, honestly, the reason why Europe... I have major disagreements with a lot of things they do. But what they do right is they've always, really, have heavily invested in public education, science, and mathematics. And that's why they've always been coming out ahead and have never fallen behind. And even with China, China was in the pits, and if you look back at historical records. But the thing that the Chinese government did right was heavily invest and ramp up their public education. Mm-hmm. And then you look at our country where we look down on intellectuals.
We used to care about that, and yes, then we don't now, and it's really sad. Mm-hmm. America's kind of fallen from favor. It's very sad. Yep. Especially when you're here and you see this happening around you, you're like, why?
It's annoying when you're like at a major university and you know some of the research that's getting done, and then you know some of it gets cut because you no longer have the funding for it, then, which happens to a vast majority of scientific research. And there's sometimes research that can go on, but then what do you do with it by the end? And then there's research that could be very beneficial for society and the environment, but there's not funding for it because nobody has an interest in it. And then with limited funds for science, it's very hard to come by.
Yeah, we're a mess in general.
Yes.
But anyway, let's move on to animals.
Yes.
We talked about environment, but let's move on to some animals. And this this was Casey's choice this time.
Yes, it was actually my choice.
This was actually Casey's choice and not Allie's, like, crazy. It's because we kept having to go back and forth. That's why I was like, it was Casey's choice. I'm like, oh, no, he just helped me narrow it down. This is Casey's choice, and what is our category today, Casey?
We picked mammals from Sri Lanka.
We did. And he made fun of me for choosing mammals from Greenland, and then now he's like, and to specify, first he did endemic animals of Sri Lanka, which we could find, like, no information for. So then he opened it up to just, okay, fine, mammals that are found.
I needed a concise list.
But let's be real. He did that so he could pick one animal that he could snipe so that I wouldn't be able to pick it. That's why you chose this whole category.
Maybe.
Yeah, you did. Anyway, okay, so go for it, Casey. Tell us about this animal that you chose this entire category
so,
for.
So, I chose the Sri Lankan leopard.
All right, and what is so special about this Sri Lankan leopard?
The first, its scientific name is Panthera pardus cortea.
Okay.
Yeah, and so with leopards, actual species name is, the whole species name is Panthera pardus. This is a subspecies that's found in Sri Lanka. And for leopards range from 17 to 65 kilograms. These guys fall on the larger end of that spectrum.
Okay.
I'll go into a bit why. And again, in terms of length, they can range from 1.6 meters to 2.3 meters, males being larger than the females. And a lifespan in the wild is about 10 to 12 years, whereas in captivity, they can live into their 20s.
Wow, nice.
Yes. And the reason I wanted this is because they're unique among the leopards, because these guys are the top predator in Sri Lanka.
Ooh, and most time leopards are not the top predator.
No, because, like, if you look at the Amur leopards, they're subordinate to the Amur tigers, and then other leopards, like in India, they have to deal with Bengal tigers. In Africa, they'd have to deal with lions, and always they get a lot of their meals chased off.
Mm-hmm.
But over in Sri Lanka, they're on their own. They don't have to deal with tigers or leopards or lions. Because for whatever reason, back in the previous Ice Age when Sri Lanka, I think it was, I don't remember geology all that well. It's not important. But when Sri Lanka was attached to India, leopards made the crossover, but tigers did not. So there are leopards present on Sri Lanka, but no tigers. And because there's no tigers, there's no competition for the leopard in terms of being top predator. And because of that, it tends to be larger than most of the other subspecies of leopard.
That would make sense.
Yeah. And there's also some behavioral differences with these guys, because one thing leopards are known for is that after they kill their prey, they will just hoist it up a tree.
This is crazy.
Yeah. Whereas these guys very rarely do that.
They don't need to, because they're not going to get chased off.
Yeah, because really only competition they might have sometimes is some crocodilians.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of times they will just stay where they are and feed on the ground.
Yeah, and just not be super close to the water, you should be good.
Yep. So yeah, that's why I found these guys interesting. And this subspecies is listed as vulnerable by the IUCN Red List. And there's less than 800 mature individuals left.
Oh no.
Yeah. Keep in mind, Sri Lanka's small.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The population is in decline.
sad times.
Yes.
But they're cool.
Yes.
It is cool to learn about things like you think you know about, like mm-hmm. leopards. You know, I think I know a decent amount about them, and then find out new information about them is cool.
Yes.
Not realizing that there's a type that doesn't have to deal with the bully kitties. They're not always bullies, but they're definitely bullies when it comes to mealtime.
Yeah.
It's like high school in a cafeteria. I didn't actually experience that, but.
Yeah, we had like this big old bowl, and there was stairs that led down. I don't remember there actually being like an actual legit cafeteria. I only remember people eating outside.
Yeah, we ate outside.
Yeah, and I would just sit up on top of the stairs and resist the urge to shove certain people down.
Lovely.
But yeah.
All right, well, my favorite from mammal from Sri Lanka is also a cat. And it is
basic.
Whatever, you chose a leopard, dude, is a fishing cat. Here we go. Their scientific name is Prionaelurus viverneus. I feel like I was decently close.
Yeah. I just need to make a list of a bunch of scientific names and have you make a video of
we
you
need
pronouncing
to do
them
it
all.
Sometime, and then I need to get wasted, and I bet I'll do it better. Okay. They live primarily in the wetlands and the swamps. Makes sense, because they are fishing cats, so water. Mm-hmm. They are 6 to 12 kilograms, 65 to 85 centimeters long. Males are significantly larger than females, although still not very big. It's a smaller cat. Their lifespan in the wild is unknown. They're pretty, I feel like, reclusive. They have one at the zoo. They have a couple, I think, at the
yeah.
zoo. And I almost never see them. And if you do, you see, like, a foot.
Yeah, you see a foot or the tufts
yeah,
of their
hair.
Yeah, that's
like all you ever see. And I've gone, every time I go there, I'm like, I'm going to mm-hmm. see this cat. And I think I've seen it, like, once down at the water.
Yeah, same.
In captivity, they live about 12 years. Caffeine drip. Gives me. They get their names because they have been observed scooping fish out of the water. I wish I could see that actually happen. Just like scoops it.
Reminds me of like when my cats would like drink from the sink.
That's how my cat does it with her normal water. Well, that's mm-hmm. how Affy used to do it. She would actually stick her foot in her water and drink. I'm like, how mm-hmm. is that efficient?
Or like when like you have coffee out and they do it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we had that problem because we used to have rabbit trail, but like with Affy, you had to have a water bottle that had, or some container that had a lid.
Mm-hmm.
Because Little, our other cat, also Isis was her real name, but if you had a tall glass that she couldn't stick her face in to drink your water, you were fine. But Affy just sticks her foot in, brings it out, so it's a problem. Yeah. First world problems. Anyway, they are primarily, back to the fishing cat, mm-hmm. they are primarily piscivores. I'm shocked. They're called a fishing cat, and they eat fish, if you do not want to know what a piscivore is. They have also been observed eating grass and small rodents. Males have been observed helping females taking care of offspring, but it is unknown if they do this in the wild. Oh, that's so interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very bizarre for cats.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just because they're in captivity, like, oh, I better keep her happy so she doesn't get pissed at me because I can't run away from her. They are listed under, we always disagree on how to say things, appendix. I'm just going to make it British. 2 by CITES, which is the second most restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
And they are listed as vulnerable by the IUCN Red List. Population is currently in decline. And the major threat is loss of habitat and over-harvesting of fish stocks, which is pretty typical
yep.
for almost all. Well, not the fish stock. I mean, we do that, but
yeah.
it doesn't affect all of the animals we talk about. And because it is a new year, let's refresh. IUCN, International Union for Conservation of Nature.
Yeah, technically.
Yay! Technically, what is it?
Of actually? Conservation of nature.
Of conservation. Okay, well, I only care about the actual letters. CITES. Nope.
Convention
endangered
of
Species?
Convention of International Trade of Endangered Species of Wild Flora and Fauna.
Well, it should be like CITES. Anyway.
But that doesn't roll off the tongue.
It doesn't. CITES doesn't really either.
Yes, it does. CITES.
Whatever.
Cities.
Anyway, so those are our kitties. Cities. One is bigger and one is smaller, and now you know what the IUCN and CITES stand for.
If you haven't learned so already.
Well, maybe they're listening to this the first time.
Then welcome.
Welcome, anyone who may be new.
And sorry.
Oh, dear. We talk about animals, guys. As we wait to, like, halfway through the podcast, Alrighty. Anyway, so those are our favorite animals for our first little batch of. We also didn't used to pick favorites from the continent all the time, but now we started doing that. Oh well. But now we get to our animal of the week, Casey. Our first one for Asia.
Yes.
And our animal of the week is.
The doll.
The doll, which I've heard of, but honestly don't know what it is.
All right.
I might recognize it if I saw it.
Yeah. So these are in the order Carnivora and the family Canidae. So they're doggy. Air quote. They're from the genus Kuon.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Species name is Kuon alpinus.
Are they up in the Alpines?
Sort of. Okay. They're higher elevation. But I would not call them mountainous, really.
Okay.
Because it's more forested habitat. They're found throughout China, India, Burma, and the Malayan archipelago.
Okay.
Yeah. And they, like I said, they prefer being in the open spaces of forest and jungle-like habitats.
Okay.
And they live about 10 years in the wild, and they live to be about 16 years in captivity.
All
right. About 17 to 21 kilograms and 1.3 meters long. Their tail is about 50 centimeters long.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yes. And they are technically omnivorous.
Oh.
And she found them.
That really looks like a giant fox.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue, sorry.
Yep. They will occasionally eat wild berries, invertebrates, and small reptiles, but most of their diet consists of mammals, larger ungulates.
Oh.
The hoofed animals.
Dang.
Yes. So, unlike other canids, you're going to be... I'm going to scar you. So, unlike other canids, they don't kill their prey by biting their throat. With small prey, they will kill them by a single blow to their head.
That's actually a nicer way to go. Oh, no.
With larger prey, they disembowel them.
How do you even do that? So they, like, knock them down and then...
And then just start going at it.
But how do they subdue them?
Well, they're, like, kind of like how wild dogs take down their prey. They'll just run them down to exhaustion. A lot of canids that hunt larger prey, that's their tactic, basically. Mm-hmm. They'll just... They're endurance runners and will just run down their prey till exhaustion.
Well, they also take turns, too. Like,
yep.
Yeah, that's
it's really a relay. Sad.
That's really sad. I like the blow on the head thing. That's way better.
Yeah. Well, these guys, as I suggested, they live in small packs, up to 12 individuals. Their social structure is pretty similar to African wild dogs. There's a monogamous dominant pair. And then the rest of the subordinate members of the pack help raise their offspring. And when they work as a pack, they can take prey that's up to 10 times their weight.
Wow.
Yes.
So what's the biggest thing they're taking down usually?
Gaur.
It's a gaur, big like antelope thing?
It's the largest species of cattle.
The largest species of cattle?
Yeah.
Is that bigger than an Ankole cattle?
I believe so, yeah.
Ooh.
Obviously not the horns.
Massive horns, but like, that's giant.
Yeah.
Cows are big, dude.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. They're not as cute anymore.
Yeah. But like I said, they can take, as a group, they can take down prey 10 times their weight and have even been known to fend off tigers.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. And they're very interesting in that they're very vocal species.
Okay.
And they will communicate to each other using whistles, clucks, and screams. And these are actually very unique because they're not these kinds of vocals aren't found in any other members of the canid family.
How weird.
Yes. And they actually will live in burrows that have multiple entrances. You're going to be grossed out by this.
Oh, my gosh. Why?
Because, so, obviously, they have to go leave the pups when they go out for hunting, and then they come back after hunting. They all cooperate to take care of them.
Yeah.
When they're young enough to eat solid food but not enough to go out on their own, they... Adults will regurgitate
well,
them.
That's typical.
Yeah.
And they eat that. It's just like birds.
Mm-hmm.
It's still nasty, but it's what things do.
Yep. These guys are listed under Appendix 2 of CITES. classified as endangered by the IUCN Red List.
Okay.
It's about 950 to 2,200 mature individuals left. Mm. Population is currently in decline. Major threats include habitat loss, depletion of prey, and persecution by humans, just like they do with so many other animals that think are out to get them.
Right.
And then there's also evidence suggests that some of their populations are going down due to diseases getting transferred to them by domestic dogs.
Oh, that sucks.
Yes. And a little fun fact, the San Diego Zoo Safari Park is one of only three North American facilities to breed dholes.
I've never seen a dhole there.
Yeah, because they're not on
they're
in
not
it.
Out.
No, they're, there's like an off-exhibit habitat, and then there's ones in the old tiger enclosure.
I didn't even know that still existed.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice the fence over there. Is that why you can't go down there anymore? That's why you can't go on the bouncy bridge?
I think they're working on construction to get over to that area, and I'm assuming that's what will be there.
Well, I'm assuming they're working on it because they have a road that's kind of going that way.
Yeah.
Blocked off, but anyway.
Because I remember back when Tiger Trail was just being worked on, it said future dhole exhibit. Years ago.
Oh, that was a long time ago because it's been like this for a long time.
Yes.
I missed the bouncy bridge.
Anyway.
Bounce. I know, now you can't even go experience it.
It was so fun.
It was the best.
Because then you can avoid that giant
Oh, yeah, there was definitely a special way. You had to do that right or it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you I saw one time where there was a dad with, like, the two-seater stroller, and he was going up that hill, and he kicked the kids out. Kids had to walk up the hill. He's like, not doing
that.
Oh,
my gosh. Me as a parent.
Yeah, same. Like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. They're one of my favorite canids.
The dholes.
Yes.
They're really cool. That's kind of terrifying. But, I mean, a lot of things in nature are terrifying and awful, honestly. The way a lot of things kill things are terrible.
Yeah. But I remember I never even heard about these until I saw that sign at the safari park years ago.
Yeah, like, I've heard that name, but I didn't know what they are. They basically look like a big fox, mostly. It's kind of like a fox coyote, I'd say.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're cool. All right. Well, there's our first Asian animal, folks. Oh, and we will be posting shortly our, I guess actually by now it'll be up. Our Asian on the Patreon. If you are new to us, support us at patreon.com/animal addicts. I think it's just Animal Addicts. I don't think it's a podcast. And we do a listener's choice every month. Well, we started that back in Europe, I guess.
Yeah.
So we will have a list of animals to choose from, so you can actually choose one of our animals of the week. Also follow us on social medias at Animal Addicts P on Twitter and Animal Addicts Podcast on Instagram.
Why do we keep the P?
Because I've chosen it. It's too late. I did it.
All right.
I mean, technically we could change it, but whatever. Twitter is easier to share articles and stuff, and the In Case You Missed It videos, but Instagram is easier with more pictures and stuff. Anyway, so follow us everywhere, folks, and if you are able to, please support us at Patreon. But Casey, what did the inspirational speaker say to conclude their speech to the group of marsupials?
I do not know. What
Anything
did they say?
Anything is possible. Not one of my best.
No.
It's not one of the best. Let's be real. That was a rushed one. But still, it exists. And there you go. I don't know, which were your favorites so far, Casey? We should have wrapped that up at the end of the year. What were your favorite ones? You like the minnow one.
Yeah.
Let me know what you think. I like the one you didn't even realize was a pun, personally.
Which one was that?
Hear me out.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Some of them are so great, though. You should love them. But yeah, it is Casey's turn. It was Casey's turn to choose our challenge. So what are we doing today, Casey?
We are doing another naming challenge, and hopefully won't be disappointing.
We will be, but that's okay.
Yep. So we're going to do it where we name an animal, and the last letter of its name is going to be what the next animal starts with.
Yes.
And we're exclusively doing animals from Asia.
And we're going to try to keep it to Asia because I won't really be able to check you on that. But okay, we're doing 3 minutes on the clock?
Yes.
3 minutes on the clock. Okay. You go first. I feel like I've gone first a lot.
Okay.
I have no idea what I'm going to say for most of these animals. I don't even know my age in animals. This is going to be terrible, Casey.
Indeed.
I'm worried.
Where's my timer?
I don't know. What did you
okay.
do? Okay.
3 minutes on the clock.
Here we go.
Ready, set,
go.
Dull.
Dull. Ends in E. Well, there's elephant, but it's an yep. Asian elephant. Does that count?
I say we're going to let it count.
Okay. All right. Great.
Tiger.
So, oh, no. Oh, God. Arse! are ringtails from Asia? Are they Africa?
Are you talking about lemurs?
No, like there's an actual ringtail. Well, we can't look it up.
No, those are Americas.
Do you know of anything that begins with an
R? Yeah.
From, you do? Rupel's vulture, are they in Asia? A raven, are there ravens in Asia? I'm just naming things.
It's a snake.
A reticulated python?
Yeah.
Oh, they're from Asia, okay, great.
N.
I wasn't counting how far we've gone. I think that was 3, 4.
N.
We're already dying.
Oh my gosh. N.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh.
We're gonna die.
N. Asia.
Yep. There's so many.
Nibian ibex.
Oh, okay, great.
That's not Asia.
I was like, that's not Asia. What about something in Nepal? Is there...
Nepal.
I don't think there's any animal's name with Nepal in the name.
I don't know. Good Lord.
I don't have anything either. This is a problem. There has to be a bug or like a bird. A Nimbus 3000 is a broom. This is going great.
Yeah.
We're doing really, really
perfect.
Well. Really well.
N.
And we can't miss like North American.
No.
N. What about Norway? Oh, that's Europe. What about something in Russia?
Oh my gosh.
We don't know our Asian animals.
No.
This is why we need to do this month so we know our Asian animals. I think our time is going to run out.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Oh my gosh. So N. Can I veto? I'll take a negative point.
Yeah, I don't, but now how do we pick up?
You just pick a random one.
Oh, God. Okay. A tiger. Isn't the, I almost said tapir and it ends in R. That wasn't in India, isn't it? Oh, here. We'll do something different. How about a peacock?
Okay.
Okay.
KKK.
Maybe don't say KKK.
Oh my gosh. I want to say one, but I don't think it's Asia. Nightjar. My gosh.
There you go. R. Thanks.
No, that's not a K.
Oh.
That's N. You kidding me?
Oh, he's leaving the room. He's leaving the room. Casey, we got 4. Okay. So what we have learned, this is the worst challenge we've done. We're starting off strong. Starting the year off with a bang here. We need to learn our Asian animals, and that's what we're going to be doing this month. So I think we're going to have to choose favorites all from Asia just so we can help get more animals out. Now you're just going to go search for Asian animals. Okay, great.
North China Sika deer, North Pacific right whale, Northern Sumatran rhinoceros.
It's okay. Just let it go.
Nubra pika.
I wouldn't have known that. Let it go, Casey. Let it go.
Never.
We're going to be Elsa. All right, what's up, kicking
me? You're the one that's trying to play footsie.
What? I am not. Okay, anyway, focus, Casey. All right, well, this was a fascinating beginning to 2021. What did we talk about today, Casey? We talked about some sort of resolutions to do with the environment.
Yes.
You talked about zombie flies. This is exciting stuff. And birds who were stealing from hummingbirds and adopting things from the World Wildlife Fund. And we talked about the awesome...
kitties from Asia.
Kitties from Asia and the dole, which is also really cool. And then we failed our challenge.
Yes,
so,
epically.
Great. We really, that's really the worst I think we've ever done.
Yeah.
So we can only go up. Well, next week will be our 23rd episode. Nothing special about the number 23, nope. Really. Sorry. Nope, that's sad. Not even a palindrome. But it'll be our second week in Asia. And then after that, you will get to choose, folks, what animal we talk about. We're going to have to put up stuff that nobody knows because obviously we don't even know anything. And tigers are mostly in Asia and yeah. We just, it's so sad. Anyway, all we have to do is think of the Jungle Book. Like, what's wrong with us? Anywho, okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us for the 22nd episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And we will catch you on the 23rd episode. Let's all go be better people. I believe in you. Anything is possible.